1 o'clock hour of the DDC. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason with you, Elijah Campbell as well. We say hello to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. As business is picking up, my friend, the Stanley Cup has been awarded to the Colorado Avalanche, and now the moves
parade
begin.
Going on now. Yeah, yes. Parade going on now.
Yes, and as they celebrate. But the moves have already begun. What did you make of Kevin Fiala being traded from the Wild to the LA Kings yesterday and then subsequently signing a 7-year contract extension?
I wasn't surprised to see him traded. There were rumblings especially in the days before that maybe it was going to happen, and then yesterday morning I got some notes saying from people saying get on it. And obviously I think the Kings were, I don't know exactly when the window opened for permission, but they obviously knew what it would take to sign Fiala before they made the trade. And that's exactly what they were looking for. Like, they lost the first round to Edmonton. They lost, for one thing, because of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, who can just score goals in bunches because they're great players. And they just didn't have anything like that. Not that really anyone does, but they just didn't have a natural goal scorer. And the moment that series ended, a few of us looked at each other and say, they're going to go try to find the best scorer they can get. And, you know, that's the guy they targeted. That's the guy they got. And he's a perfect fit for what they need to do. And they also had a player in Brock Faber who I think really appealed to Minnesota. You know, he's from there. He's a captain of one of the college teams there. And I think everybody suspects that's where Faber wanted to be.
Are you a little surprised that, because with Fiala being a restricted free agent, they theoretically could have waited, seen what happened with Forsberg, because I thought they might be in on Forsberg if he went to market,
Yeah. Maybe
Gaudreau. So are you surprised that they went ahead and pulled the trigger, or do you think they could still be in on somebody else?
I think they could still be in on somebody else. They have a lot of cap room right now. I still think they're going to look at some other situations, but I think the thing about a guy like Forsberg is all of a sudden, you know, that it does look, I think if a guy like Forsberg ever says, I'd like to come to LA, they'd look at it. How could you not? It's Philip Forsberg. It does make it a little trickier. But now I think if you're Forsberg, you probably look at it a little bit and say, okay, how would this all work if I was to go there? Or, maybe he still feels that way anyway. I still am hopeful that the Philip Forsberg situation is going to work out. You know, Fiala's a left shot. Forsberg's a right shot. I can understand all the speculation. I still think it's going to work out in Nashville between Forsberg and the Predators. It's certainly been much more of a grind than I think a lot of us anticipated. But I will say this, guys, that a couple of teams seem to think it's going to work out there. So we'll see where it goes.
Do you think that Nashville was in on Fiala at all in a possible reuniting with him?
I'd never heard it. That doesn't mean it's true, not true, but I never heard it.
Do you think, though, that, Elliot, that is maybe a way, let's just say you're right, that the Forsberg thing ends up working out and the Predators are sitting there going, okay, now how do we take the next step? How do we close the gap between ourselves and the Avalanche, the premier team in the league? Is the RFA route, where maybe you trade a first-round pick and a prospect to get one of these other RFAs that are in kind of a salary crunch with their current team, is that maybe the template?
I think that I definitely think that Nashville, like, first of all, you've got to get the Forsberg thing sorted out one way or the other. And I do think if it gets done, my guess is it comes in around 8-5. That's a guess for me right now. If it gets done, it comes in around 8-5. Then I think you have to look around and say, okay, you know, now what else can we do? And you guys have cap room. That'll eat into it, obviously, but you'll still have some, and then that's where you can squeeze, yes. And I think David Poile would do that. But the bottom line is you got to sort out Forsberg first.
Now, with that being said, Elliot, if indeed, say they don't get the Forsberg deal done as soon as free agency starts. And possibly he could be looking at it from the standpoint of, okay, I want to go around and shop a little bit, see, you know, get my ego pumped up a little bit, see how many teams out there really want me and what they're willing to pay. But ultimately, I'm seeing what David Poile is going to do in regards to free agency. Is he going to try to go out and make this team a win a championship team now? Because Phillip's not getting any younger. And I'm sure he's looking at it from what place gives me the best opportunity to win a championship. Okay, I don't sign with the Predators on the first 2 days of free agency. Well, what is David Poile out there doing in those 2 days? Is he trying to add to this team? So when I do decide I want to sign back, now we have a team that can truly compete for a Stanley Cup, not compete to win and make it to the playoffs because we've done that, but truly compete for a Stanley Cup.
Well, I think that the thing is, Derek, and you know because you were a player, once a player goes into free agency, then the GM's got to say, sorry, we'd love to have you. Unless you know, unless you have a handshake deal that says we're coming back, and even then it can be dicey, then you can just, then it's, David Poile's going to go out and he can say, look, like, Philip, we'd love to have you, but I got to fill out my team. Like, the one thing I know is this. Nobody wants to take a step backward. Nobody wants to take a step backward. So the Nashville Predators were a playoff team this year. Now, it didn't end well because Saros unfortunately got hurt. But the thing is, like, nobody is looking at this and saying, well, you know what, last year we made the playoffs, so next year it's okay if we don't make the playoffs. Not a chance. Your fans don't want that. Your organization doesn't want that. Nobody wants that. So I think what Forsberg is looking at and what Poile is looking at is, how do we make ourselves better? How do we, you know, take that step? And if you've heard Poile talk, and I know you guys have, he has said, like, last year was not the year to spend. This is the year we're going to do some things. So, you know, nobody can promise a winner. Nobody can promise a champion. But the one thing I really do think, guys, is that the Predators are saying, okay, our team was a little better than we thought this year. We're going to try to take a step. Like, there's no way to me that anybody's sitting here and saying, it's okay if we go backwards. Like, sometimes, like before last year, I think you could have said, okay, we don't know what this is and we got to see what we got. Well, now you've seen what you got. Nobody wants to go backwards.
Now, how many, truly, how many suitors you think will be looking for Philip Forsberg's services? Because, listen, as a player, before free agency starts, it's like, okay, it seems like there are, like, every team in the league wants you. But then when free agency actually starts, it's only two or three teams that really want your services. So how many teams do you think are hoping that Philip does get to free agency?
I think that if he makes it to free agency, there will be a lot of suitors. I mean, he's a 40-goal scorer. You know, if you guys just watch the Stanley Cup final, you know, Colorado could score. By the end, with all their injuries, Tampa couldn't, and that was the difference. And if you can add a 40-goal scorer to your roster, you're going to look at it. Now, I think the advantage that Nashville have is that 8 year. And, you know, if it's eight, let's just say for argument's sake, it's 8 times 8.5, that's, you know, that's $68 million in a no-tax state like Tennessee. Like, that's a big advantage for the Predators. And so somebody's going to have to find a way to equal that or beat that or come close enough to that. And that's going to be hard for some of these teams to do. Like, if you look at what's going on around there in this league, there's not a lot of teams that have the cap room to do that without performing some surgery. So I think Nashville does have an advantage there. I think also Nashville has the advantage that I think in his heart of hearts, Forsberg wants to be there. We're just going through that grind. But I do think if he gets to free agency as a 40-goal scorer, there's going to be a ton of interest.
I don't think there's any question about that. Elliot Friedman is with us from 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. And so, Elliot, I want to go back to something you said earlier. You feel like some other teams have said maybe there's been some progress on the Forsberg talks, that maybe some potential suitors are kind of thinking, well, at the end of the day, where do you come up with 8.5? We saw the Frank Saravelli podcast earlier where he was saying, hey, he's not asking for the moon here. He's not asking for more than Roman Josi. 8.5 has made sense to a lot of us for a long time. So it sounds like you've had some recent info that's kind of suggesting that.
Well, I this is the time of the year where I attempt to earn my salary, and other people can judge whether I do or don't. But, you know, I've called around, I've made calls, and I asked people, like, what do you think? That's one of the ways I was able to just slightly be ahead of the Fiala move yesterday, because people were telling me, like, be on it, be on it, be on it. And it was Kings. And, you know, I just asked around. I say, you know, what do you guys think of the big free agents? Forsberg is obviously one of them. And, you know, I just say, what do you guys think? And I think there are some negotiations, you know, when there's a deadline now. And so it's time to get serious. And you can tell in a lot of cases, not every case, but in a lot of cases, when there's been movement towards something or you're still nowhere. And the general feel around the league is that there's been movement. Like, I heard David Poile say, we're talking long-term for Forsberg. That's what we want. I don't think that's a problem. I think 8 years, I think everybody kind of gets that that's probably where it's going to go here. I think everybody's known for a while now where the number was going to have to be for Nashville's comfort and for Forsberg's comfort. And, you know, I maybe 8.5 is a little bit on the low end, but, you know, I just asked some people for their guesses, and that's kind of where they think it's around. Now, it might not be exactly right, but some of these teams seem to feel that there has been some momentum. And I think when you get that close, you assume it's going to happen. They could be wrong. I could be wrong. But I'm under the assumption right now from the people I'm talking to who are more connected than I am that they think there's a path to a contract. Now, you got to close it. Yeah, it's like late night at the bar. Can you close the deal? And now these two guys have to close the deal.
Okay, we can all relate to that. That Elliot, we're varying degrees of success, I think, sometimes going back through the years. But Elliot, what are you hearing in similar comparison with Johnny Gaudreau? Do the Flames have a pathway to keeping him, or where are they with that?
Well, I think there's some similarities in the sense that the Flames, I think, have made him a big offer. I think it's going to be hard for him to find that money elsewhere unless someone really throws a ton at him. The difference is between Forsberg and Gaudreau is that in Nashville, that's home for Forsberg. Like, we've talked about this. He was drafted by Washington, but for all emphasis, he's a Predator. His wife's from the area. Like, there's a lot about Nashville that's home for Forsberg. I think in Gaudreau's case, even though I think he does like Calgary a lot, he's an East Coast guy, and his family's from the East Coast, and I think that's the challenge that Calgary has. I don't think this is Johnny Gaudreau doesn't want to be in Calgary. I think it comes down to, does he want to be closer to home? And right now, I think he's making that decision, and I'm sure that the Flames will probably hope they know well in advance of the 13th, and we'll see. But at this point in time, from what I can tell, he hasn't made a decision.
Does Gaudreau end up – do you consider him a slight tier higher than Forsberg in terms of his value? In other words, if they both re-sign, will Gaudreau end up getting a little more than Forsberg?
I would think so. I simply think that – I mean, both these players had phenomenal years, right? Gaudreau had like 95 points in 5-on-5, which was the highest number in a long time. I think that total probably pushes him a little bit higher. I think the tax setup is more beneficial to you guys too. That's a big issue up here in Canada. I would say his number would be high. Assuming both players sign with their current teams, I think Gaudreau's number is higher. I think if you go to the market, and then it could be a little bit different just simply because I think teams know they're going to have to pay to equal what these players could get in their current market. So that kind of screws it up a bit. But if they if they stay in their current markets, I think Goodrow's number is higher.
Well, Elliot, it's going to be.
I think Goodrow comes in around 9, 9.5 if he stays in Calgary.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think too. It's going to be fun to watch over the course of the next couple of weeks. But appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddies. All right, guys. Take care, guys. Speak to you next week.
Yeah. Thanks, Elliot. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, always on top of things. And I have a feeling we'll have even more to talk about when he joins us next Thursday at 1. We'll react to some of that coming up next as you listen to the DDC 102.5, 106.3. An appropriate song. Elliot Friedman just joining us from Sportsnet. Saying 8 years, $8.5 million for Forsberg, and that teams are telling him that they feel like he will end up back in Nashville with the Predators. Welcome back into the DDC. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, Willie Donick, Elijah Campbell here with you. And guys, I mean, that's it's not done yet, but you know, Elliot is on top of these things. He was on top of Fiala and that move that was coming. So if you're a Predators fan and you hear that, you got to feel pretty good about it.
Well, that's why we're really fortunate to have Elliot on every week, because you know, he's getting a sense of what everybody around the league is saying. He's not just working on the Forsberg story. He's working on any number of players and movements. And we talked about Johnny Gaudreau, and we could have gone right down the line on about, you know, 24 other players. And so there's no question that everybody else has a pulse and is trying to keep tabs on, hey, is there a chance this guy actually hits the market? Because if he's not going to hit the market, we're not going to waste time worrying about that for Philip Forsberg, because we got a lot of other things we got to get to. And I think deep down, there are a lot of teams that are probably saying, look, we got to be real here. Nashville should re-sign this guy. It's just like with the Flames and Gaudreau. The problem, he made a really interesting distinction about Gaudreau. Gaudreau is from South Jersey. So that's maybe one reason why he might like something else. He might even take a different deal just to try to move on. But still, the fact remains that Calgary can offer him the eighth year. He can get more money from Calgary than he can get other places. The other thing that Calgary does not have going for them that Nashville does is the tax situation. It's much, much different in Canada than it is in Nashville.
Yeah. So I think if this is true, if they turn out to get this done, you know, before July 13th, so in the next 2 weeks, and ideally it happens, you know, around the draft, they're able to announce this. I think that would be huge for David Poile, because then you can focus in on what you have cap-wise and then filling the other holes that you need to fill through the trade market. You know, if this gets done before the draft, to me, that's the winning scenario, that you get that done then.
Yeah, it takes a lot of stress off of David, off of the organization, because they feel, hey, okay, we've secured the piece that we wanted to secure.
Yeah.
We've got it. Phillip's here. Now let's start to add around him and Yossi and Duchesne and the rest of the guys.
Well, because you then know what you have.
Yeah. Because it's hard to sort of do that. That's why I mentioned to Elliot, okay, if this thing goes into free agency, a day or two in free agency, and he and Phillip hasn't signed, does David then go out and say, hey, listen, these are the things that we're doing to, in hopes that Phillip does re-sign with us? Because if he does, then yeah, we can go out, we know what we need, we can put the pieces around him. If he doesn't, I think they still can go out and get the pieces, but the idea of them approaching it the same, it can't be.
Yeah, it's different.
It's totally different now.
I am of the firm belief if Forsberg goes to market, he's not coming back.
I don't think he's coming back either. Yeah. I think so. I think there's going to be one team that does extremely overpay for him.
Yeah, and I think this would be very similar to the Braves and Freddie Freeman. Like, it was just like Chipper Jones tried to tell him that if you go to market, Alex is not going to be able to match some of the big teams and the offers that they're going to give you, and he's going to have a job to do, and he's going to have to move on. And that's exactly what happened. And I think, David, it would be the same thing, that he's not, Because you can make an argument that 8.5 is overpaying a little bit. Now, I don't think it's overpaying a lot, but it's – I still think – and, Willie, you've pushed back on this a little bit. I still think he would get 9 on the open market.
I think the more time goes by and the more you're heading towards free agency, I think the more you gotta be wary of that. Even if you don't think he's worth that, you got to be worried that it just takes the one. It's what Derek's been saying for weeks. It just takes one to do it. And we can argue whether, you know, $9 million on the open market for 7 years, especially with the tax situation, is better than, you know, 7.75 or 7.95 in Nashville. But the, you know, that's the deal.
Yeah.
That's where it is. Like, it's clear that Philip Forsberg wants to make, you know, more in that 8.5 range, which there's huge advantages
which
to making
fair.
That kind of money here. Yeah, it's fair.
It's an no absolutely question. A fair deal. So, again, Philip Forsberg, Elliot Friedman just joining us saying on our show that teams are – he's hearing from teams that it's looking more and more like Forsberg is going to re-sign with the Predators, coming in around $8.5 million. And so if that turns out to be true, that would be obviously very big news for the Nashville Predators. But there's been big news around college sports with USC, UCLA reportedly looking to join the Big Ten. We'll get back into that when we coming up next as you listen to the DDC, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, The Game Nashville app. Def Leppard bringing us back, DDC, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Fenton and Adam Vingan coming up at the top of the hour. I'm sure Adam will have some thoughts on Philip Forsberg and Elliot Friedman, what he's thrown out there with us. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. The big news of the day out of college sports, reports of USC, UCLA joining the Big Ten as early as 2024. Nothing is finalized at this point, but it's just yet another domino in the movement around college sports and changing the absolute landscape of college sports right now. And we've all had our opinions on it. I mean, it, from a geographical standpoint, it makes no sense to me, but here we are. And this is what's going to happen. And Derek, the conference that you played in is now going to have USC and UCLA.
Yeah, I think it opens up. I think it helps. In a sense, helps both SC and UCLA and the Big Ten with, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 teams, whatever. It helps them both. Obviously, I believe it helps UCLA and SC a lot more than it does the Big Ten. From this regards, I think, you know, because the Pac-12 is not one of the top two money-earning conferences in regards to their television deal. Well, SC and UCLA move. Now they go to a bigger market in regards to money. They come to the Big Ten. You heard, you know, Tim Brando talk about it. Listen, when it comes to money, the Big Ten knows how to make money. They are above the SEC in regards to contracts.
Sure.
So that helps SC and that helps UCLA because now they get more money divvied up in their share. I think it helps the Big Ten because now the Big Ten, especially the upper tier teams, can recruit heavy in the state of California or, you know, out west. And then it helps UCLA and SC because now they can recruit heavy on the East Coast. Because a lot of really good players, they don't want to go to the West Coast. Why? Because their family never gets to see them play, you know, other than on TV. Well, now if they become a part of the Big Ten or when they become a part of the Big Ten, now that is not the case anymore. Now I can see my son or my daughter play more frequently because they're playing teams that are on the eastern side of the United States. So I think it helps SC, UCLA, but it helps the Big Ten as well in regards to recruiting.
Yeah, and I mean that's the other domino in all this is the recruiting. And you know, Willie, you were talking about the transfer portal earlier. You know, you're going to see that be affected too mm-hmm. by some of these moves. That if there are kids that they're going to look how top heavy some of these conferences are, and even though they might play, you know, how is that going to affect their stock?
I think all of this is going to be a big part of the momentum and the reason why this is happening. And I continue to think that we're moving towards Division I splitting off into a couple of different tiers now with this happening. Tib Rando was the perfect guest to have on at noon just minutes before this story broke, because he was saying, the quote he had was, the SEC is the dominant league in winning titles, winning national championships. The Big Ten is the best league financially. They are the best. They have the best capability to put together the best television network and therefore generate the best revenue streams for their league. And that is exactly what UCLA and USC have in mind here. And that only strengthens the financial footprint, especially from the football standpoint, even though there's some wacky geographical matchups. We were laughing about a Rutgers-USC mm-hmm. conference game, you know, or something like that. It's nuts. But you put all that together, and you see where it's going. They're going to be on such a different financial tier, those two leagues, than anybody else. Then it's just logical that they might pick off a few more schools, and then all of a sudden those schools are going to be playing for their own championship, and everybody else will be playing for a different championship.
Yeah, and that, I mean, we have that, you know, in high school football, you mm-hmm. have, or in all high school sports, you have the different levels of championship. I do think that especially for, you know, the FCS and the non-Power Fives, they should have their own champion. But, you know, is this going to be like high school sports where you have like three or four champions?
I wonder.
I mean, it does feel like it's going.
I hope
that
it
way.
Doesn't get to that, but I do think that it's not out of the realm of possibility.
And you want
that it gets to that.
You want to be fair, but at the same time, like if you have, you know, people will recognize Georgia or Alabama as the national champion of uh-huh. whatever league they're in and whatever they win. But then, you know, what if you have, you mentioned the ACC, so mm-hmm. what if you have Alabama win this new national championship, you have Clemson win another one in the same year, and then you have UCF win another one. And, I mean, it just gets
– Well, wasn't it like that prior to all of this? Because you had what? You had the AP poll, and then you had this one, and you had this championship and this championship. And that's why they wanted to sort of get away from that. That's why we're in the situation that we're in now. Because there were too many, like, okay, you're the AP champion and you're the USA Today champion. And it's just, they didn't want it that way. They wanted one, right. like, just one champion, period. We don't want to have to go to, you know, you naming this team champion or you naming it. No, we got one champion, one team. We play for a playoff, and one team ultimately is going to win.
And that is... That's what they now have to figure out. I mean, well, but that's what happens when Pandora's box is open like it has been.
Yep, and I keep wondering, is there any way that the other three, quote, Power Five leagues and how this is going to be once these four teams move, that alliance that they had, can they possibly, with the remaining teams, have anything comparable to the new Big Ten and the new SEC?
They can't compete.
I don't think they'll be on the same tier. So it's logical that you're going to have a breakaway and just have everybody else, best of the rest, play in a different college division.
That's why I said these teams are start, you know, people like SC and UCLA, these blue blood universities with long histories, they see it. Texas saw it. Oklahoma saw it. SC, UCLA is seeing it. Nebraska saw it many years ago when they left. You know, they're starting to see, hey, listen, we need to, the ship is moving. We need to get on.
Pete Thamel just tweeting out, Spoke to a few sources who called USC and UCLA's move to the Big Ten a formality, with a press conference expected in the next 24 hours, perhaps as soon as tonight. This is essentially done.
So
So here's another one I think of. And I go back to Pat Forty's article with Jack Swarbrick from Notre Dame. He seemed to indicate in that article that he didn't think Notre Dame as a university wanted to be in basically the revved up professional league where you know you're going to have money and you're going to be paying athletes to compete in this ultra top level of Division One. But I do wonder what Notre Dame will choose to do, because they bring so much to the table in terms of television audience, especially in football. So what does Notre Dame do? I think that's one of my first questions.
Well, don't be surprised if, you know, a few years, because it's going to be a two conference league. That's what it's going to be, SEC and the Big Ten, or Big whatever you want to call it. Don't be surprised if teams like Florida State, Clemson, Miami, they start thinking like, man, we need to get out of here.
How do we get in this club?
They're big-time programs.
Absolutely. So how do we get out of this?
That's probably part of the next dominoes to fall, and there are going to be many more to fall. So we will keep this is not going anywhere. I'm sure there will be more with this tomorrow that we will talk about. But coming up next, we say goodbye to our friend Elijah. We will do that as you listen to the DDC 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 7:05 on 94.9 The Fan, as the Sounds face the Indianapolis Indians, AAA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates, at First Horizon Park. Sounds Baseball and 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Back here on the DDC, Chase McCabe, Derek Mason, Willie Donick, and Elijah Campbell has joined us in studio. Thank you to Ian Safar for taking over on the board, because unfortunately, my friend, this is it for you. This is your last day with us here at 102.5 The Game.
Last segment feels weird.
I know. And Darren kind of gave his goodbyes earlier in the week because he was unable to be here today, but I know he and I have talked, and he hates to see you go, but he's very proud of you and what you've done here. But Nick Kieser approached me a couple of days ago and said he wanted to put something together, and I told him, go for it. And so he has put a lot of work into this, and a little tribute to Elijah.
Good evening to you from Bridgestone Arena. With us in our broadcast coordination this evening, Elijah Campbell, back at the station.
Hey, Elijah, it's Jared Cassidy. I just wanted to say thank you, man, for all that you've done for me. It's been a wild ride, from Preds games during the week, late nights, early mornings, to shows on the weekends, and to co-hosting with you for the first time. What a journey, man. I wish you nothing but success in everything that you do moving forward.
Hey, Elijah, it's your boy David James, dude. I am super proud of you, man. I can't believe that you're leaving us, man. It's honestly, dude, it's been a journey just knowing you, bro, for the past, I don't even know, 5 years. Dude, you're an amazing guy. You're an amazing reporter. You're an amazing producer. Dude, I've known it since, you know, those MTSU days, man. Us going to Georgia for MTSU football games, to now with doing Preds games and just with all that stuff, dude. I'm so proud of you. You helped me out with my career with just so many different things, dude. I'm super proud of you. I love you like a brother. And, yeah, just don't forget about us little people over here at 102.5 The Game.
Hello, Eli. This is not Pete Weber. It's Max. Wanted to say pleasure working with you, buddy. Thanks for all the good times. And I look forward to seeing you at your next job, which is serving me family-sized nuggets at Wendy's before Preds games. Hopefully someday Elijah Cummings, the mysterious figure from Pete Weber's past, will reveal himself. Until then, Godspeed.
What up, what up? It's Ian from Stillman & Company. Just wanted to say we're going to miss you, man. It's been fun working with you, getting to know you over the years, and talking sports and life. It's going to be weird walking into the studio for our show Handoff and not seeing you in the captain's chair. I can't thank you enough for all your help with the Preds games. Best of luck, Elijah, and don't be a stranger.
Hey, Elijah, it's Jared and Caroline. We are going to miss you so much. We absolutely think the world of you. Every time that you've been a part of our show, it's been fantastic, and we're really, really going to miss working with you.
Elijah, congratulations on this new opportunity, on this new stage of life. You have improved everything you've touched at 102.5, and I know that you will continue to do that in your new endeavors. So good luck with everything, and we will miss you big time over here at 102.5.
Take care, bud.
First off, Elijah, I just want to say congratulations. We're so proud of you. I know you did work hard to get another job, but it's also going to be super bittersweet because I know I'm going to miss you so much here at the station. I just want to say thank you so much for, you know, really taking me under your wing as far as a producer this past year and really helping me. And courtside / Campbell and Knezvik will not be the same without you, but I know we'll stay in touch. Good luck, and you'll forever be my college basketball analyst.
Hey, Eliza, Robbie Stanley here. It's been so cool getting to know you both as a friend and working with you these past few years. You've done such a great job here at 102.5 The Game, and we're going to miss you a lot as you move forward to future endeavors here. But I know you're going to do great things. You know way more about basketball than Joe Rexroad does, so don't let him ever tell you anything differently. And you've always got a friend in me, buddy, so appreciate you and everything that you've done for me.
Elijah Campbell, you magnificent son of a gun. This is Joe Rexroad wishing you all the best and saying, other than your abhorrent John Stockton was better than Isaiah Thomas Tank, you were pretty much flawless in everything you did at 102.5. I look forward to all the success you will have moving forward and to more battles in the post at local playgrounds. You will be a highly valuable and valued asset wherever your life takes you, my friend.
Man, hate to see Elijah go. He will be missed. One of the friendliest producers I've ever talked to as a show guest, always asking how I'm doing, how my weekend was, talking sports for a minute before putting me on the show and doing it with a smile. Those seem like little things, but they make a difference in making you feel appreciated. I know the crew appreciated him for doing whatever the show needed and doing it well. We'll miss you, Elijah. I'll send you off in Italian, my man. Ciao, Elijah. Sta bene. Ciao.
I have to admit, Elijah, sometimes your call snuck up on me. I'd be busy on a Thursday afternoon. I'd be working on something, or I'd be writing something, or I'd be talking to someone, or I'd be making soup or whatever. And at 1 p.m. Central Time, my phone would ring and the 615 area code would come up and I'd be like, oh man, that's Elijah. I got a hit in Nashville in a sec. And I always, hey, Elliot, it's Elijah. I always remember that. Hey, Elliot, it's Elijah. You ready to go on? I don't think you ever veered from the same script. It will be weird not hearing that voice with that phone call. Hey, Elliot, it's Elijah. Ready to go on? All the best, man. Look forward to seeing you in the next phase of your life, and I hope it turns out great for you.
I don't think people realize how important a role is played by the people who are back at the station keeping things together for us during our broadcast. It might sound like it's easy, but Elijah Campbell, and Elijah, I'm going to miss you greatly. Elijah Campbell is a guy who did just that. He helped keep both Skillsy, Hal Gill, and myself sane during some crazy times, and was a great sounding board otherwise. So Elijah, we're going to miss you greatly. We wish you all the absolute best. And who knows, maybe someday you might even do a guest reappearance at the other end of a Predators broadcast. All the best to you, Elijah.
How we doing, Elijah? It's Ryan Porth. A special shout out for you for your years as a producer at 102.5 The Game. I feel like an old dad saying that I'm proud of the job that you did for the game, starting as an intern, then ascending your way to producing the Midday Show and even the Nashville Predators Radio Network. When I was with Cromo, I enjoyed working with you and trading notes on sports betting and video games and even hearing you break down the backcourt for Detroit Mercy or Pepperdine or, you know, whatever random college hoops team you watched on ESPN Ocho the night before. Randy and Buck Snort and I wish you the best of luck in your next adventure. And by the way, what the hell are we going to do about our Cincinnati Reds?
Hey, E, it's me. I know this week is probably bittersweet for you as your time at 105 is coming to an end, but just know that I'll still be cheering in your corner for what's coming next. And I'd be willing to guess that your 105 family will miss you like hell and that they would probably agree with me that your new work team is super lucky to have you, but love you like hell and so excited for you.
Well done, Nick Kieser, putting that together for our pal Elijah. It's well said. I mean, you got Elliot to do that. That's pretty cool.
I'm impressed. I'm genuinely touched. Thank you, Nick, for putting that together.
I'll let Willie and Derek go first, and I'll close it out. But this is definitely a bittersweet day. We'll just put it like that. Mm-hmm.
No question. I thought that was so well done. I think you get a sense from what all those people were saying how important Elijah's position is and the producer's position is on our show, the guys behind the scenes. And not only that, I think Elijah has made awesome strides on the air as well. I think he's a very viable host. He sits in the chair on the other side of the glass, and I don't think you skip a beat. You know, I think he's come light years in 4 years, like so many of the people. That's what I always say this. I'm so proud of what our station has done in just over a decade now, all the talent that we've developed. And so we're going to miss you, Elijah, and I hope we keep you in the bullpen. You know, I hope you still stay in touch with us and stay bonded to us somehow. But at the same time, we wish you really well in this new opportunity.
Kevin Durant is messing up your goodbye because he's asked for a trade. So
I expected nothing less.
Yeah. Being a basketball person, I'm sure you didn't. There's only a few people that I know that can talk Laker basketball. And Elijah, Eli, Isaiah, you are one of them.
Man of many names.
Man of many names. No. But more than anything else, I think, you know, when I would call in, it was, you know, you start the conversation off and we would talk about the Lakers. Like, what are the Lakers? Lakers not doing this. Yep. And it was good because I love basketball. And I told people, I play football, but my love is basketball. And to know that I had someone else that can talk and enjoyed basketball the way I enjoy basketball is truly a blessing. And it's fun to kind of go back and forth. And you even wore your Lakers shorts yesterday.
I did.
The vintage Lakers shorts yesterday.
Yes,
it's nice to see you. I wasn't here the full 4 years but when you started, but just to watch you over the last year when I would call in or I would be inside here, it's just a joy to watch you just continue to grow. And sometimes you grow to a point to where you got to try a new adventure. And now you're on to a new adventure, and I'm pretty sure they will love and enjoy you at your new job. And you will put in the same effort you put in this job, I know you'll put in the next one. So congratulations on your new endeavors, and I hope it brings you nothing but happiness. But I'm sure we are hearing on these airwaves from time to time. So, you know, continue to do what you're
fired.
Doing.
He's fired. Sorry.
Permanently terminated.
Continue to do what you do and continue to talk basketball and Laker basketball.
You know,
that's the easy part.
You started interning with me. I think it was middays and then maybe mornings. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They all run together. But I will never forget you walking in with the handlebar mustache and the pirate's hat and basically looking like Raleigh Fingers.
Yeah.
But to watch you grow into a producer and an on-air host has been an absolute pleasure because for whatever reason, I've always looked at you as kind of like my protege. Going back to, you know, even before becoming PD, I saw something in you and I still see something in you. And you've made me damn proud every day. So this is bittersweet because I'm watching, as Darren and Derek used to say about me being baby bird, I'm watching my baby bird leave the nest and fly away. But you'll always have a place here, and I'm proud of you. And anything you ever need, ask somebody else.
Man, that's no, for real, though. This has been... what, a good 4 years?
Yeah,
I'd say. And if you include interning, in it has been a very rewarding 4 years. So thank you for giving me the opportunity. Thank you guys behind the glass.
Ryan, you can cash the bet.
Mm-hmm.
I was so close. I looked at the clock and I was like, I got like a minute and a half. I guess keep it together for a minute and a half. But no, thanks everybody. Listeners too. Like, it's obviously, we don't have this if it's not for you guys listening and tuning in. So it has been a very rewarding 4 years, and trust me, I won't be a stranger because I have Santa Clara basketball takes. Somebody's going to hear them.
The Detroit Mercy reference by Ryan Porth was awesome because that is true. You can get info from any basketball team from Elijah.
Hey, don't mess with U of D now.
Well, on your last day, we've broken all the clock rules, but whatever. It's okay. Elijah, thank you so much, and like you said, you're not going to be a stranger. That's going to do it for us today. Stillman & Company with Caroline Fenton and Adam Vingan is next.